Thank you for having us today. We have enjoyed this. This has been good. This is our second time to be with you, and I certainly hope it's not our last time to come and be with you. And but anyhow, it's been good. I won't have to do my advertisement back there and talk about our stuff, but I will say it's back there. We've got CDs back there and several CDs, and Debbie will be glad to help you after the service, and Christian jewelry and T-shirts and things like that. And so anyhow, if you'll say amen, I will not keep you long. I've learned over the years the mind can contain no more than the behind can endure. So. Yeah, but anyhow, in the first part of Nehemiah, we see that the Jewish people have been in Babylonian captivity now for about 70 years. And matter of fact, Nehemiah is born into captivity, and he has become the cupbearer for the king. Now, the cupbearer is a real simple job. Basically, your job is to taste the wine and taste the food before the king eats it to make sure that it's not poisoned. So it's a very important job. It's probably not a job that everybody was lining up to get, but it's a very important job, and they were very appreciative of that. But anyhow, he is the cupbearer for the king, and one day he's in the palace there, and the king says to him, he said, "Listen, Nehemiah, I know notice that you're kind of discouraged today. I notice you're kind of down in the mouth, so to speak. And what's the problem? I've never seen you like this. What a testimony for a child of God to have is for him to never have seen him like that before." He says, "Well, I've heard through the grapevine that the city of Jerusalem, the walls have decayed and are falling down. And Lord's laid it on my heart, I'd like to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem." Now, you'll see, even though he was born into captivity, God has instilled in every Jew, and this is true even today, God has instilled in every Jew a love for the city of Jerusalem. It is their pride and joy. I've talked to a number of preachers who have been over there before, and they say even today they take a lot of pride in that city and how it looks. So he said, "I'd like to go back and rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem." And the king says, "I'll tell you what, I'll do better than that. I'll give you written permission to go. I'll provide all the materials for you to rebuild the wall, and I will send you with all the manpower that you need to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem." And so they take on a trek across 800 miles of desert. And then we see here in chapter 4, if you will, of the book of Nehemiah, we pick up there's some bad guys. Always got to be some bad guys in every story, amen? But that's what we see. Look there in verse 1 of chapter 4. It says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, 'Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn the reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof.'" Look at this, I like this. It says, "For the people had a mind to work." Isn't that a great passage of Scripture? Yeah, amen. "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, 'The strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall.' And our adversaries said, 'They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and unto the rulers and unto the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses.' And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both spears and shields and the bows and the harbigons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. they which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laden, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Father, thank you for the blessings you've given us today, and thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to serve you. Lord, it's an honor to be one of your children, Lord. I thank you for loving us and saving us. And Lord, I pray that as we look at your word, that our hearts and minds will be open, Lord, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us today. Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know you, I pray that they'll come to know you the way that we know you before this service is over with. And Father, for those that might just need to be challenged to do more and to be more for you, Lord, I pray that we'll listen to the Holy Spirit. Forgive us for our many sins and many shortcomings. For all these, asking our Son's blessed holy name. Amen. You know, some time back, there was a young fellow that went into a convenience store out in Texas. And he went to that convenience store and he bought what he needed to buy. And then he came out of that convenience store and he went across the street to a little Baptist church while services were going on. And he took out an AR-15 and he began firing at the building. And then he went to the door and he just kept right on firing. He barged through the door and he kept firing. When it was all said and done, 26 people were killed and another 20 were wounded. They said it was the largest massacre in the state of Texas since the Alamo. And we've seen this in the last few days. It seems like, now the last two incidents that have happened have not been in churches, but most of the time these people like to zero in on schools and in churches because they're the most vulnerable places that there are. We're living in a day and age where we have to lock the doors during church service and put people in the auditorium in strategic places who carry weapons. We've had to take training from outside of law enforcement to know what to do in cases like this. We've just got troubling times, and we didn't ask for this, but it's just where we're at in America today. Somebody say amen. I met a preacher in Illinois the one time, and he puts a rifle behind his banister in front of the choir, behind the choir banister, and he told his people, he said, listen, if I'm ever preaching and you see me heading towards the banister, I've got one word for you, duck. Things are fixing to get hairy up in here, amen? And it's sad that we have to do this kind of stuff, but it's just where we're at. Somebody asked me one time, said, Brother Dave, do you believe in gun control? Why, absolutely. My idea of gun control is hitting what you aim at. Amen. Now, you didn't know you were going to get a message today about guns today, did you? Amen. But you know what? It's just where we're at today. Now, I take my text there from that last verse there, if you will. That's verse 17. So they which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laden, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. He's basically saying, listen, keep on working, keep on doing what you're supposed to do, but because the bad guys are out there and because the enemy's out there, you need to keep the other hand on a weapon, just in case. Don't you love those people that come along and say, oh, you shouldn't do things like that. Shouldn't try to protect yourself because the Lord's just going to take care of it. Well, it's kind of like a sign I saw not long ago. It said, you know, God moves mountains, but don't be surprised if he hands you a shovel. Did you catch that? Amen. We're supposed to protect ourselves. We're not supposed to do those kind of things. You find that God tells us throughout the Bible to protect ourselves and things of this nature. But that's another sermon. We won't go there today. But you know what? When a man puts his hand on the weapon, basically what he's doing, he's saying, okay, you have gone far enough. You're not going to go any farther. You've taken advantage of me long enough. It's going to be me or it's going to be you. I'm willing to die for the cause. How about you? You see, so it's important that when we put our hand on the weapon that we mean business. Now, there's a spiritual application here as well as the physical application. But the spiritual application is that we have taken our hand off of the weapons that God has given us. Now, you might think, Brother Dave, what's the weapons? The weapons is the Word of God. The weapons is our prayer life, our family prayer life, our spiritual walk. Somebody say amen. You see where I'm going with that? There's a spiritual application there as well. The reason we have a weak America today is because too many of people in the White House have taken their hand off of the weapon. The reason we're having the family problems in our nation today is because too many families, the mom and daddy, has taken their hand off of the weapon. If you'll say amen, I go faster. Amen. That's like putting a little grease on the gears. It keeps me moving right along. Amen. It's time that we go back and we put our hand back on the weapon and say, okay, devil, you can't have my pastor. You can't have my church. You can't have my kids. You can't have my family. You can't have my country. You can't have my president. Okay, devil, you have gone far enough. Amen, Brother David. We need to just take a stand in that area. Now, there's some other stories I can tell to go along with that, but I'm going to skip right over to the good part here. Look there in verse 3. Here in this passage of Scripture, I see four things that we need to stand up and protect and say, okay, devil, that's it. That you're not going to do that. Look here in verse 3. It says, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even they which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Here they're attacking our faith. They're attacking our faith. You see, the Lord had inspired them to go and do this. They were not attacking them personally. They were, in reality, they're attacking the Lord. Let me tell you something, friend. Did you think for a minute that when you got saved that it was just going to be easy and nobody was going to give you a hard time? No. No. Walking the Christian walk is tough. It's hard. But, you know, it's not going to get any better. They did it in Jesus' time. They made fun of them. They gave them a hard time. So basically, suck it up, buttercup. Amen. It's not going to be easy walk. Amen. And they're going to keep attacking your faith. A good friend of mine, Jim Brady, wrote a song some time back that said, truth is marching on. And it says, you know, we've always had our noisy enemies. And that's the truth. Ever since there's been Christianity, we've had our noisy enemies. The devil's always there to gig us every time he can. Somebody say amen. Isn't that true? And it's not going to change. They're going to keep attacking our faith. But you know what? You stand true to the Word of God and stand on the faith. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hold on to your faith. Now, my next point, you look there in verse 7 and 8. It said, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Here they're attacking their freedom. They're attacking their freedom. Now, I don't know about you, friend, but I'm glad that I live in a country where we have the freedom to come and do what we're doing today. Amen. We have our problems, and that's understood. But you know what? We still live in the greatest country on the planet. Amen. And I'm glad to be an American. And these guys that disrespect the flag, I'm going to chase that rabbit for a second. What's up with these guys that refuse to stand up and pledge allegiance to the flag? I'm sorry. If you support that, you know, you've got to change some things. And they always say that they're doing these things in remembrance of abused ladies or abused children or some charity. Well, give some of those millions of dollars that they're giving you that you don't need in the first place. Give some of those millions of dollars to your charity. Stand up, quit disrespecting the flag. Amen. By the way, those guys ain't got the nerve to do that in front of a VA hospital, I'll guarantee you. Amen. One of our best-selling T-shirts that we have out there, and we're out of them right now, says, I stand for the flag and kneel for the cross. Amen. Now, if that offends you, you're just going to have to take a baby aspirin and get over it. Hey, now, look there in verse 13 and 14. It says, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and unto the rulers and unto the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Here we need to defend our families. Somebody said, oh, these young people, that's the church of tomorrow. No, I disagree with that. That's the church of today. Amen. I love seeing these young people play instruments. I like hearing them sing specials. I like hearing them pray. I like seeing them take the offering. I like seeing them cut the grass around the church. Amen. They need to feel that this is their church and they're a vital part of this. And you know what? The devil is going to do everything that he can to attack your family. He knows he's got you if he can attack your family. And it starts with the kids. As a rule, yeah, starts with the kids. You need to say, devil, you can't have my kids. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to bathe them in prayer. You know, your kids need to hear you pray for them every day. Regularly, at least very regularly. Out loud. They need to hear you pray for the things that they're facing and the things they're going through. And by the way, if you're missing family devotions, you're missing a real blessing. Amen. There is strength in those things. We need to encourage our kids. Read the Bible, learn the Word of God, but also let's pray with each other, pray for each other. And you got a mom and daddy that loves you and they're praying for you. And we're gonna coach you in prayer before you ever go out and face the world. Somebody say amen. You know, there was a time we could say, devil, Don't you make me quote scripture now. Yeah, devil, don't make me quote scripture. Don't you make me pray to the Father about this. And he feared that. Nowadays, your average home is not, it's not a threat to him. We need to put our hand back on the whip and somebody say amen. Back on the whip and say, okay, devil, that's you're just not going to do that. We're not going to go there. Now, one more point and I'll be through. Right down here we see we need to protect our future. You see, Nehemiah knew that one day the Jewish people would return to the city of Jerusalem. And he wanted that city to be beautiful like it once was when they came back. And so he wanted to protect his future, protect the future of that city. Listen, these young people are going to come along one day and they're going to have to take my place. You're going to take your pastor's place. Take all you adults' place. And we need to be raising them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's very important that we train them. Thank God for what you've got going on back here in Children's Church right now. Amen. Thank God for these programs where they learn about the principles and the things of the Word of God. Now, I'm going to end up here quick, brother. I won't be too long. But you know, if a burglar broke into your home and you pulled a weapon and he saw right away that you really didn't know what you was doing with it. You didn't know how to take safety off. You shook a lot, didn't know how to hold it, all these things. If he saw that you didn't know what you were doing, you are absolutely no threat to him whatsoever. You're better off not to pull the weapon because he's probably going to take it away from you and use it on you. But if he goes into your home and you pull a weapon and he sees right away that you've been to the target range, you know how to handle that gun and you're in control, you become a major threat to him. And he's probably going to just leave you alone because he didn't bargain for that. That's what we see in the scriptures here. He said, man, work. Keep about the Lord's work. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. He said, but at the same time, put your hand on the weapon just in case. Amen. He said, stay about the Lord's business, but just in case, keep your hand on the weapon over here. And you know what? Because they had their hand on the weapon, when the bad guys that were going to attack them, and they were far outnumbered, and the bad guys were going to come and attack them, they saw that they had their hand on the weapon, and that they meant business, what'd they do? They left them alone and just went on about their way. We need to be conscious that we're living in troubling times. And young folk, it breaks my heart because, you know, the things that are happening in this country right now is going to affect you and your future and your kids. It scares me to death what my grandkids are going to have to live with. Need to be praying for our country. Somebody say amen. That's the truth. And how we do that is we begin by putting our hand on the weapon in our home. Encourage our people in the government, put your hand on the weapon. We're praying for you. We did a camp meeting thing with a preacher over in Alabama. I don't know, it's been a year and a half or so ago. And he told me that he goes to Capitol Hill every week and has a prayer meeting there. And I've seen pictures, you know, of our president standing there with us in the circle and holding hands and praying. Aren't you glad you have a president that prays?
Amen.
I'm not politicking on you. I'm glad he prays. But you know what? He has invited us to come and to sing in his church on a Wednesday night and then go with him on Thursday morning up there to Capitol Hill and sing at that thing. And we haven't done it yet, and we're going to try to line that up. But isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? Aren't you glad somebody in the White House is praying for this country?
Yes.
Isn't that a wonderful thing? Well, my question is, friend, where are you at with that? Your hand on the weapon? You just put it on there every now and then, just on Sundays? No, we need to keep our hand on the weapon at all times. Know the Word of God, you know, and pray for our kids, pray for our family, our church, our pastor. Somebody say amen. That's good. Let's all stand, keep our head bowed and our eyes closed as the musicians come and prepare for the invitation. Maybe you're here and you can say, Brother Dave, I'm saved and I know that I'm saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. Not a doubt in my mind. As the pianist comes and the musicians come, prepare if you don't mind. Are they here, brother? Okay. And maybe you say, I'm saved and I know that I'm saved, not a doubt in my mind. But Brother Dave, we haven't prayed in our home like we should. We haven't bathed our pastor in prayer like we should. You ought to be praying for him while he's doing this meeting. Somebody say amen. You ought to be praying for the services tonight that God will bless. Now, Brother Dave, I know that we need to get back to the old-fashioned way of doing things. We need to make that a part of what we are and what we do. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment. Slip your hand up and say, Brother Dave, would you pray for me and my family that we'll start doing what we're supposed to do? Yes, hands everywhere. Bless your heart. Amen. Yes, yes, I got my hand up. We can do more, can we not? We can pray and read our Bible more than what we're doing now. Yes. There's strength in that. Put our hand on the weapon. Isn't that good? Thank you. God bless you. Put your hands down. Now maybe somebody could say, Brother Dave, I just can't say that I'm 100% sure if I died that I'd go to heaven. And you know, you can know that today. And that's not based upon what we think or say or supposed to be right. Friend, that's based upon what the Bible says. We don't want to give you our thoughts and ideas and opinions. We want to show you what God says, what the Bible says about being saved. Because it don't matter what I think. Friend, it matters what the Bible says. Maybe you're here today and you just got question marks in your mind. You're confused and you're just tired of being confused. Slip your hand up and say, Brother Dave, I'd like to know more about this. Would you pray for me? Anybody? Yes, bless your heart. Anybody else? Father, thanks so much for your love. Thanks so much for grace and mercy. Lord, I thank you so much for saving an old sorry, wretched sinner like me. Lord, I deserve hell then and I deserve hell now. But because of grace and mercy, Father, I don't have to worry about that place. Lord, I pray that as we go into the most important part of this service, that your will be done, Lord, not ours. For those, a lot of them raise their hand, Father, saying we can do more. We can put our hand back on the weapon and keep it there. Lord, I pray that we'll be willing to do that. Spend time in prayer and Bible reading. Lord, I pray for those that need may have some other issues in their life, Lord. I pray they'll come and let somebody pray with them about that. Lord, forgive us for our many sins and our many shortcomings and where we've wronged you. For all these, ask in thy Son's blessed holy name. Amen. Listen, as the Holy Spirit spoke to you about something, you come and let somebody pray with you. I'm old-fashioned enough, I still think Christians ought to pray with each other and pray for each other. Amen. If the Lord spoke to you about something, you come and let Brother Tim or one of these other workers pray with you. As they begin singing, would you do that?